This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, this is Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 19th of November 2023. Now with the show.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? How many of us have the last two or three or more radios they've replaced still sitting in the shed gathering dust? The amount of photos I've seen of shacks the world over that have four or five radios neatly set up on shelves, either in a shack for use or just sitting in a shed or storeroom, is mind-boggling. Often the reason for keeping an old radio is that the value is so low that the nostalgia of that radio exceeds the amount you could get for it. In today's environment of $500 software-defined radios outperforming a conventionally designed radio purchased for $5,000 15 years ago, this is now often the case. So thinking about the nostalgia of an old radio that isn't worth selling, what if you gave or long-term loaned that radio to a new ham? You might be encouraging a young person in your neighbourhood who's asked you what that big mast is for, offering along with some assistance to your local high school as a STEM program, or just giving it's someone who's interested enough to do a foundation licence but doesn't yet have the required funds to purchase their first HF rig. Either way, seeing someone get the same joy you once did with an old radio, otherwise not being used, is a good way to relive the fun you had with that same rig. Long time ago, I was a beneficiary of an act like that. I'd sold my old CB to pay for a bus fare to Perth to sit my novice licence test. On arriving back, the president of the club I was in loaned me his converted CB, which I had a lot of fun with in the first year and so that I was on air. Other hams in the club also assisted me with stuff they weren't using. The result of that has resulted in a lifelong enjoyment of the hobby. Along those lines, why not get your local club interested in approaching your local schools and organisations like the Scouts and Girl Guides, etc., to not only run a session about ham radio, but donate some radios for the use once licensed. You might find an influx of new young members that might breathe a new lease of life to a club that might be getting a bit stale. The cost of this is a bunch of slightly older radios that would otherwise only be gathering dust in the shack. Sounds like a bargain to me. Another idea I wouldn't mind floating is that all the clubs in Perth get together and form a bank of older radios for this purpose. I'm not talking about boat anchors that only the most experienced hams will be able to get going. I'm thinking of radios that are 10 to 15 years old, but while not having HDMI ports and software-defined brick wall filters and the like, can still be connected to a PC and used on FT8, and are still in good working order. I know at Ham College we often get either bequeathed radios or asked by a Silent Keys family to assist in getting rid of old radios. I have to say, I personally often run a mile from those opportunities, mainly because we have a room of boat anchors and no room for any more. At Ham College, we are getting well over 100 new hams on air each year, many of which could benefit from a donation of a radio. Maybe it's part of joining their local club. I'm sure Ham College could, and has done in the past, provide a plug for local clubs as part of the foundation course. And knowing a new member may be able to gain or be loaned their first radio would be a huge draw card. So, why not have this kind of conversation at your next club meeting? I think you'd be surprised at what a bunch of club members could put together as a bank of gear and the ongoing benefits to the club of a bunch of new members. Stop leaving all those great rigs gathering dust and put them to use that will benefit yourself, your community and the hobby in general. Thanks for listening again. This is Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, that will be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
Good morning, this is from Rob, VK6LD. The Southern Electronics Group, SEG, is pleased to announce the long-awaited next management up Amfest is scheduled for Monday the 27th of November 2023. For those who haven't been before, the management up Amfest is a pub lunch for radio enthusiasts held at the Quinnanup Tavern, 1222 Wheatley Coast Road, Quinnanup. The food is great, drinks are cold, and the company is excellent. YLs, XYLs, and partners are also very welcome. Start time is 11:30 a.m. The legendary ham feast raffle will also be held on the day with some quite great prizes to be won. For those coming from Albany, Mount Barker, Katanning, Bunbury, Perth, or most other places, Quinnanup can be reached in 2 to 3 hours travel time. It is preferred if you can pre-order your meals to help the chef have sufficient supplies on hand and to prepare and deliver meals in a timely manner on the day. I have attached the Quinup Tavern's menu to this email and also put it on the SEG website. Meals can be selected on the day, but there are no guarantees if not pre-ordered. Quinup Tavern also informs me if there are other choices anyone would like, please let me know. Looking forward to seeing all the crew again. Joe. First important point. If those attending can email me with their meal choices and to confirm their attendance so I can prepare a spreadsheet for the chef, please have your orders back to me by 8 a.m. Tuesday the 21st of November 2023 at the latest. Second important point. When you arrive on the ham feast day, if you can attend at the bar, let the staff know your call sign and name and they'll take payment for your meals. The chef is aiming to serve meals between midday and 1 p.m. but with upwards of 40 people expected, this equates to one meal cooked and served every 90 seconds, so please be patient. Please RSVP and provide meal preferences to me directly by email or SMS text. Save the date in your calendar, Monday the 27th November 2023. Start time is around 11:30 a.m. and look forward to seeing you there. 7-3 from Rob, VK6LD.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out when they can over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
Covering Western Australia and beyond, this is News West, brought to you by WA Amateur Radio News, on air, online and on demand. This is VK6 ARN and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. During the week, I started a new project. If you know me at all, this is not unusual. Having worked in the IT industry for nearly 40 years, it's also not unusual that projects have a way of surprising you, and this project was no different. Recently, I've been talking about antennas, a topic close to the heart of many amateurs and one that garners a lot of opinion, and in my experience, much less in the way of facts. So, being a firm believer of facts, I set out to add some of those to the discussion. After having described that the environment is not often discussed in the context of antenna behaviour, coupled with the personal experience that it has by far the biggest influence, I set out to discover if I could use my computing skills to simulate this problem to build a picture that would speak 1,000 words. Prompted by a friend who shared with me a link to an opinion that stated that dipole antennas didn't have 2.15 dBi gain, but in fact apparently had 8.5 dBi gain, I was energized to find out where this number came from. I figured I'd spin up some antenna modeling software, use a standard model of a dipole, then simulate it at various heights above the ground and see what I could learn. Any good journey starts with a single step, so I started with looking for a generic model of a dipole antenna. I've played in this space before, so I was familiar with the fact that most, but not all, antenna modeling tools use a piece of software called NEC2 to do the actual calculations. Its models are described using text files ending in the .NEC extension. This software goes back to punch card days, so the format for the NEC2 files is essentially a stack of punch cards, so much so that every line in a text file is called a card, and any software that uses the underlying NEC2 tool describes it in that way. I won't bore you with the syntax. Let's put it this way. If you've been around computers for as long as I have, you're familiar with a tool called SendMail, which is known to be user-friendly, just very particular with whom it makes friends. The NEC2 card format is much the same. It's not that surprising, and for added nostalgia, NEC2 was written in Fortran, originally in 1981, at the Lawrence Livermore Labs by Jerry Burke and Andrew Poggio. It was later released to the public. There's translations to C and C++, but they used the same notion of cards, so no magic progress there. I started learning the syntax, and eventually came across a textbook with an example of cards that describe a dipole. Mind you, there were plenty of disclaimers around how poorly the ground was simulated, and wouldn't you know it, the file format uses meters as the dimension rather than wavelengths, so as far as I can tell, you can't simulate a quarter-wave antenna, you have to simulate one of a specific length. So much for using a standard model of a dipole. I found a tool that uses Python to issue NEC2 commands, and as a surprise to nobody, it too uses cards. I used it to discover that for a particular type of ground at some unknown height, the optimum length for a 10-meter whisper dipole antenna is 5,225.87 millimeters long, apparently. You know it's true. It says so right there on the screen. I'm skipping over having to compile the software that was supposed to be a ready-made Python library, but I digress. There was a tool written in TCL that visualized NEC2 output, last updated 18 or so years ago, and I unsuccessfully tried to make it work. Then there were those who suggested to fire up some random Windows tool on my Linux box, but as far as I can tell, I'd have to do the height adjustments manually. Not ideal if you want to visualize from, say, ground to geostationary orbit 1 millimeter at a time, and output an image at every step. I searched the net for others who would surely have trodden this path long before I came along, only to discover that my search foo is clearly broken, or any website with promising information has long ago been booted off the internet, leaving for sale signs on the domain name. I came across one file which simulated a dipole in free space. It had, to use the NEC2 terms, 11 cards. When I run that through NEC2C, it generates a 12-megabyte file with over 104,000 lines of output. Only takes 650 milliseconds to generate. If only I could visualize it. I also came across a whole range of physics programs, which is not that surprising, since essentially antenna design is physics, but those tools require that I start learning a whole new way of building antennas, apparently from electrons, preferably whilst getting a degree in physics with a specialization in computational electromagnetics. Then there was the Wolfram Alpha notebook model for a simple dipole, only 3,200 lines of code, so, you know, trivial to use. So here's the thing. Has nobody in living memory simulated a dipole at more than three heights and documented the process? Am I really the first human on the planet to think of this? Oh yes, I did find a project that simulated different lengths of dipoles, but I'll leave those for another day. And finally, I also found X-Neck View, which does generate images, but it too is very particular whom it makes friends with, and I've yet to discover if it can generate what I'm looking for. As for the 8.5 dBi, I'm still looking. My current best guess is that at some specific height, a dipole has an ugly spike that has 8.5 dBi gain, and that someone used that number without looking at the detail. But who knows? There's plenty of opinion to go around. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Good morning, Helpline 2023 for the 19th of November. No new items this week. But if you are looking for anything in a hurry, the Northern Corridor Radio Group boot sale is on today, the 19th. That's Sunday today. The Northern Corridor Radio Group is at Whiteman Park off Nangarra Road. And if you are looking for anything, just head up there and you might find it. But if you have any items for next week, please contact me, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. or roy.watkins@bigpond.com, and I'll deal with that as it comes in. This is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor 73 from now.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that NewsWest is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWest Weekly Podcast -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast. Or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.